Well, I want to talk about the daughters of Zelophehad. And these women came to Moses and said, look, you know, our father's dead and we don't have any brothers. And therefore, it seems that our father's name is going to die out. And we want him to be remembered and for the inheritance to continue in his name. Can you make some sort of legislation that gives us the opportunity to continue to inherit in our own names? And why did they do this? Well, I think that they believed that there was going to be an eternal inheritance of the land as distributed to every family. And although we don't actually have the list of which families got what, that would be like volumes required. That isn't recorded in the Bible. I think it's quite clear that it was God's intention that each family within each tribe of Israel was to be given a specific amount of land. And that was to be their eternal inheritance. It was, if you like, on an eternal leasehold from God because the land was his. And so they believed, as I think you can figure out, God also intended that each family would live forever in a specific area. And when you come to the New Testament and you read about our inheritance, this alludes to that. It means that each of us has been given a specific, eternal, unique inheritance in God's kingdom. We will not all be the same. We will all have a specific role to play, specific thing to do. And they understood that. And you can see people like Naboth, for example, when he refuses to sell his inheritance to Ahab, he understood that as well. And I think what that shows then is that we have each got something specific to look forward to. We will not be simply robots, all identical. Who we are now is who we will eternally be. And each of us has a unique path in life because God is preparing each of us for that eternal inheritance, that eternal role that we are to play, which is unique to us in his purpose. So I consider that these daughters of Zelophehad are extremely spiritually perceptive. And when you look at their names, Ma-La, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Terzah, they have all got Yah at the end of their names. And that's most unusual, because nearly all the people at the time who had God anywhere near their names use El for God, not Yah. And yet Moses revealed the name of Yahweh to Israel. So I think that they had perceived this, or their father or mother had perceived this. They say in verse 3 of Numbers 27, our father died in the wilderness. He wasn't one of the rebels. At the time of Korah, he died in his own sin. And I suggest that he may have been Zelophehad. Why I say that is because in the wilderness, our father died in the wilderness, and that's just the same phrase that you have in Numbers 15:32, about the man who gathered sticks in the wilderness. In Numbers 15:32, he died, they say, in his own sin. And I think that alludes to Numbers 15:31, which uses that same term in prefacing that incident of the man gathering sticks. So this man, although he had sinned and died, as they say, in his own sin, he had faithful daughters. Maybe they became that way because of their reflection on their father's sin. But that's sort of for passing interest. My point is that they were inspired to be spiritually ambitious. And because they were so ambitious, God rewarded them. You may say, well, why was there not provision made in the Law of Moses anyway for this? And I think that the Law of Moses was intended to inculcate relationship with God. And therefore, there were many parts of it that were open to interpretation, extension, clarification. So when you come to Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy, Nomos, the second law, where Moses, at the end of his life, gives the law, he changes various parts of it, expands on some, develops some points and omits other points, etc. And this is because the law was intended to create relationship between God and man. It was not at all just a blind test of a series of tests of simple obedience. We think how Aksar followed her father Caleb's spiritual ambition in specifically asking for an inheritance in the kingdom. That's in Joshua 14, Joshua 15. And then in Joshua 17, we read of the daughters of Zelophehad asking for this inheritance that had been promised them to be given to them. So spiritual ambition is no bad thing. We should seek to be in God's kingdom, and we should imagine what we could do for him. So then they say that they don't want the name of their father to be taken away. And you notice that these women themselves come to Moses. Now, this was a male-dominated society, and women were not allowed to have inheritance in all the surrounding cultures. So they rose above their position in society because they were motivated, I suggest, by the spirit of the hope of eternal inheritance in God's kingdom. They believed that they would be there, and so would their father. And you know, this idea of rising up above our station in life, what appears to be our station in life, is really what the gospel is all about, that we are not trapped, but that we can rise above it. And God says to Moses that the daughters of Zelophehad have reasoned correctly. And so he says that if a man dies and has no son, then the inheritance will pass to his daughter. And if he has no daughter, then give the inheritance to his brothers and so forth. So women were allowed then to possess the inheritance of their fathers if there was no brother involved. So again, you see, this is radically different to what went on in the surrounding cultures. And we are called to radically accept the value and the meaning of the human person far above whatever acceptance of human values there are in the world around us. And so they are, in that sense, our pattern. And Paul recognizes that because in Numbers 36, verse 6, it says, "Let them," that's the daughters of Zelophehad, "be married to whom they will. Only into the family of the tribe of their father shall they be married." And I think Paul alludes to that in 1 Corinthians 7:39 when he says that a Christian widow can marry whom she will, but only in the Lord. Just as these women could marry whom they wished, but only in the tribe of their fathers, unless they would lose their inheritance permanently. And you could reason from that that Paul sees the danger of marrying unbelievers to the point that he sees that you can lose your inheritance permanently. So then, we have a possession, and a unique inheritance. And as I say, when you read about the inheritance that is kept for us in the kingdom of God, when the New Testament talks about that, it is alluding, I suggest, to the idea of each family within Israel having their unique inheritance. There is this unique future for us. And we know that God loves us and only seeks to do us good at our latter end. This is his hope for us. He has intentions for us and hopes for us. And we're to rejoice in that and to accept it.